You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, so this is a big afternoon. I am a very happy man because the cooler himself, Carlo Colaiacovo, is in studio.
Is that who I am now at TSN, the cooler?
Well, my understanding is you've been handing O-Dog picks, NFL picks, for the past 2 or 3 weeks.
See, you know what he fails to tell you is that he calls me, I give him the right pick, and he forces me to give him the pick that he wants, and then blames it on me if it's wrong.
That doesn't sound like him at all. He would never do that. I refuse to allow you to disparage the name of the O-Dog.
I'm being serious. So Monday night, before Al's brother gave him the Seattle pick, I texted him and I said, Seattle, lock, emoji. And he didn't even give me credit for it.
Well, you deserve credit because he got that last night. Or I get that, I guess, on Monday. And last night was it was a terrible football game. Awful. Yeah. Like the Browns-Steelers game, if you were up watching that, it was what you would expect out of a 5-4 team and a 3-6 team. But it got ugly at the end, as we know, and we'll touch on that momentarily. But, man, the AFC North has always been nasty. Like Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, just nasty teams, nasty football, a lot of deep-rooted hate.
Well, just the series itself between Cleveland and Pittsburgh over the last 8 years. That's the first time Cleveland's beat Pittsburgh in 8 games.
Well, that's the amazing thing about what happened last night. All right, so we have some audio. Myles Garrett spoke after the game. And I guess I'll give the Browns credit for that. I feel like there's a lot of teams that would bail their player out after an incident like that, including teams in Toronto that would say, no, he's not speaking. We're not going to allow him to talk. We're not going to allow him to maybe incriminate himself even more. Maybe if he hasn't settled down, he's going to pop off and say something crazy. Wrong, who knows? But Myles Garrett came out and did speak, and he was asked about his incident. And if you missed it last night, you've been living under a rock the past like 20 hours because I turned the game off after it was 21-7.
Yeah, me too.
And I just figured that's it. Like, clearly everything's just going
to... I did because I had to get up early in the morning and do the show.
Right. I did just because I don't know why.
It was over. 21-7. Pittsburgh had nothing going that game. They lost James Conner. They lost Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, it was over for them. They're down by 14 points. I don't blame you for turning it off.
Absolutely. And I don't care about either team either. Like, it's not like it's, you know, two powerhouse teams or two, or a team that I'm connected to. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, I don't care about. Neither team factor into the playoff picture. They're out. They're done. They're both bad teams.
Pittsburgh winning the last 4 games, moving to 5-4. They were in a playoff spot going into the last game.
Pushing for the wild card spots. Yes, and I guess technically they're still in that race. But if Mason Rudolph is going to be their quarterback, which he will be, I just don't picture them getting in the end. But technically, you're right. They're still in the race. Cleveland, with such a soft schedule, could convince themselves they're still in the race.
If they find a way to rally around these last 2 wins, like they just beat the Bills. I mean, great defense. Their offense is questionable. Steelers riding a 4-game winning streak. If they can turn a corner here, and I mean, ironically, it's coming from Myles Garrett, who was the center of controversy last time. But Myles Garrett, before last week, came out and said we could easily be 10-6.
But that's why what happened after you and I turned off the TV actually mattered. The rest of the game was completely irrelevant because Cleveland got their win, and they dominated the line of scrimmage. Baker Mayfield was okay last night. He wasn't great, but he was fine. Odell Beckham Jr. factored in. But they're looking for rallying cries, and they need their best players on the field. And Myles Garrett is the best player on that team. He is the best player on that team, in my opinion. He's better than Odell Beckham Jr. I don't care who the quarterback is. Yeah. He's clearly better than Baker Mayfield, Denzel Ward. It doesn't matter who you're talking about.
Well, he was the guy that started the turnaround.
Absolutely.
You know, number one overall pick, face of the franchise.
He is a superstar.
Yeah.
Like, he is a legit threat every single time he's on the field. And right at the end of the game, we know what happened. He got into it with Rudolph. He got into it with the Steelers O-line. He rips Rudolph's helmet off and hits him with it. Luckily for Rudolph, it didn't strike him, you know, with a significant blow because really could have done some serious damage last night. And Rudolph is going to be fine. And this is a guy who had a brutal concussion issue like 3 weeks ago, a month ago. But Garrett getting suspended indefinitely. He's done for the year.
Mm-hmm.
They have to run off six straight wins. I think they got to get to 10-6 and get in. But without Myles Garrett now, I can't picture that happening.
I'm with you, man.
I think they're done. They were probably done anyway, but the idiocy of that play after you finally beat a team you haven't beaten in how many years now? 5 years?
Well, they
played
eight games, so you'd have to think four
years. Five years.
Yeah, they got to
play Pittsburgh twice.
Yeah.
5 years you haven't beaten that team. That's the team that has all the rings and owns your division. You guys have been talking big game and talking smack, and you finally make a statement just based on the scoreboard alone, and yet because you were such a joke of a franchise, you still lose in the end.
And Odell Beckham Jr. said it best after the game. As much as it feels like a big win for the Browns and the organization, he came out and said, this feels like a loss. Because literally, they lose any momentum that they gained from winning that game yesterday, because now they've lost one of their best players.
Absolutely.
And you think about how that whole, if you watch the replay and just go back to see how everything happened, it was a meaningless play. 8 seconds left in the game. Pittsburgh's on their own 20-yard line. They're throwing the ball to run out the clock.
Why is Garrett rushing?
Yeah, why is he rushing him, and why is he finishing his sack? What do you think's going to happen?
Well, that to me, obviously it was a selfish act. Garrett came out with a statement. I'll read that in a moment. And he didn't try to pin it on anybody else. Like, it was such a dumb play by him last night that he has to take all of the onus and he has to pray for forgiveness, where you see this in other incidents in, you know, any sport.
Well, you see it in hockey. You saw it in hockey twice. You saw Marty McSorley take a shot at Brashear.
Right.
But
even Marty McSorley tried to pin some of that on Brashear. I asked him to fight. He wouldn't fight. It's like Marty.
Bertuzzi on Moore.
Exactly. Well, you know, he did it to our captain, and I was trying to send a message, which, again, is ridiculous and was ridiculous at the time and is even more so now when you consider where we are in society and in sports. But Garrett didn't, during the statement, he didn't say, hey, Mason Rudolph was kicking me or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe I did that. So for him to fall on the sword to that extent means he knows he's got to beg for forgiveness. But he tried to pretend as if the win was not overshadowed by the action
last night. And again, just to, like you started it by saying you were surprised he said something. On my show this morning on First Up, I said the same thing. I'm actually surprised that he said something, because even when he was saying something, I didn't hear the words that he was sorry for doing it. I mean, he released a statement now. But as an athlete, like I played hockey, and you played hockey too, not at the highest level. But
pretty high though.
You've played. Yeah, you've been in those games where your emotions get high. I've seen you fight in minor hockey.
But
you've got to control your emotions in that situation and know that, like you've seen hockey fights too, where guys get into it and their helmet, they're throwing punches, holding the other guy's helmets. But this guy, the intent that he had for Mason Rudolph in last night's game, like, it's just it's a horrible look on everything. And thank God there's no serious injury here.
It just doesn't happen in football.
No.
Like that. Now, when you bring hockey into it, I always find it interesting on, you know, the day after a big incident in any sport, anytime there's a brawl, you get the inevitable list coming out. Top 10 brawls in sports. And somehow there's only like one or two hockey examples, which is comical, because it should be, the top 10 list should be all 10 hockey brawls over the past like century. You know what I'm saying? Like, there have been other incidences. The Malice at the Palace, clearly, when you go into the stands, and Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal and all that kind of stuff. And there have been legitimate fights and legitimate brawls.
The whole Knicks brawl when
Patrick Ewan and Stan Van Gundy. But even that, there weren't that many, you know, bombs that connected. Where in hockey, over its history, there have been full-out team-on-team brawls during warm-up.
Yeah.
Before playoff games. And they're not even in the top 10.
It's true. It's true. Like,
it's not even on the list.
Some of the stuff those guys are fighting about is just like looking at each other wrong.
Right. This guy shot a puck in my net, so we had a 20-on-20 brawl for 45 minutes.
This guy said
game.
My mom was ugly, and it's like, you know, like it's fun stuff, but dumb stuff as well that gets that stuff started.
Right.
And like it's for Myles Garrett to do what he did in that game in that moment. There's no excuse for it.
Well, here's what Myles Garrett said after the game. Again, you and I both surprised that the PR department allowed him to speak.
Yeah.
That's my surprise. Not necessarily that the player isn't willing to go out there and speak, and maybe he was pushing for it, but usually you would see a PR department be like, we got to keep this guy out of the limelight.
Yeah. Like, let's not make sure he slips up and says something he's not supposed to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you never know. I mean, sports are emotional. Football is a violent sport, and emotions are running high, and it is not, like you said, there were 8 seconds left on the clock or whatever. This wasn't in the first quarter, and then you're talking.
This is a guy trying to go get a sack at the quarterback.
It doesn't make any sense what he was doing. And that's on Freddie Kitchens, too.
Oh, big time.
Like, Freddie, you talk about a team that is so undisciplined. Freddie Kitchens, even though he got a win, he got the biggest loss last night because they're so undisciplined. They take way too many penalties. What he's doing with Garrett on the field, let alone rushing in that situation, you tell your guys, drop back and end the game.
Exactly.
And
take a kneel on defense. Like, who cares?
Do whatever you have to just get out of there. It's over.
Yeah.
Go party in the back.
And the surprising part for me is they handed out suspensions, and I'm pretty sure you want to get into that. I mean, Myles Garrett gets suspended indefinitely for the rest of the season. Larry Ogunjobi, who's the defensive tackle for the Browns, gets one game. But the surprising suspension for me here is the Steelers center, Marquise Pouncey. 3 games?
Yeah,
for defending his quarterback? For defending an act that was ludicrous?
It's the old, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, I guess. He is, like, stomping on Myles Garrett.
He's throwing.
He's kicking him.
He's kicking. He's doing everything. But, like, if you're a guy seeing your teammate getting beat up like that or getting, you know, a helmet thrown out like that, you're responding the same. You're sticking up for your teammate.
Yeah,
man.
No, there's no question that
I can't believe he got 3 games.
That was the rawest emotion.
Yeah.
Like, what Garrett, I don't have no idea how Garrett got to that level. Where he exploded to the point where he's like, I'm going to try to kill this guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. But I understand Pouncey watching that and then saying, you know, going like a blackout moment. And be like, I got to get this guy because I cannot believe what he just did.
That's just natural reaction.
It is. But this is where, you know, the brand and the shield come into play.
True.
And the league are like, man, this is on prime time. The whole country is watching it. The whole country is going to be talking about it. And I can understand why they felt like they had to suspend him. Now, how many games he deserved, that's a different story. But if you watch the tape, and everyone has seen it, like, he is stomping him and, like, kicking him in the head and throwing bombs.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, I know why you did it, but you still can't do it. I think where Rudolph comes into play is going to be intriguing because he was involved. Now, he got dragged into it, literally. Like, Garrett jumps on him, stomps on him. But he wasn't happy. Rips his helmet off, though, after he's, you know, and Rudolph is chasing him. And I'm not going to say he was provoking him. He wasn't. I think he was reacting to what Garrett did to him. But a lot of times you see that. It's almost like a coincidental penalty, even though you were you took the brunt of it. Just because you were involved and you were a primary player, you might get slapped. And I think he'll get fined. He didn't get suspended, but they might fine him for his role.
Both teams got a $250,000 fine handed to them as well for the altercation. So the NFL is definitely putting their foot down on this, and they have to. They have to. They have to set a precedence here because, you know, you think about it, before the actual suspensions came out, everyone was saying, well, playing the guessing game, what's he going to get? And immediately, the first incident you think of is Albert Haynesworth when he stomped on, I don't remember the guy's name, the lineman for, I believe it was the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When he had no helmet on, he stomped him with his cleats, cut him open for 30 stitches, and got 5 games.
Yep.
So I knew immediately he was getting minimum 5 games. Then if you calculate where they are in the schedule, they've played their 10th game, they've got 6 left. I thought for sure, guaranteed he's getting the 6 games, which he did.
Yeah, and I don't think he'll get any more than that. I think people will be calling for it, but he's done for the year. clearly. They're not going to make the playoffs, so it's not going to drag into a playoff game. And by next year, you know the way the NFL operates, he will continue to be suspended indefinitely.
Yeah.
And a random day in June or July when no one's paying attention, they'll just slide it out there.
Yeah.
He's been reinstated. And I don't expect this to continue over to next year. And what another party that's involved in this, whenever you see any of these altercations take place, is the Players Association, where you would assume that they would be like, you know what, our guy Mason Rudolph almost got decapitated. Maybe we should push for a significant suspension. But they're really going to be like, no, we got to protect our guy Myles Garrett, who also pays the same dues, maybe more based on percentages, and we don't want this to be setting a new precedence. The Players Association factors into all of these announcements and all of these suspensions. Yeah. In terms of, like, I wonder if Garrett is going to appeal. Like, based on his statement, it would indicate a level of contrition, you know, a level of understanding that what he did just can't happen and it was selfish and violent and stupid.
Uh-huh.
But would it shock you if after a day or two he goes, I'm thinking of appealing this?
No.
I wouldn't be shocked. And that means the Players Association have to represent him.
Yeah. And well, they've probably advised him to do so, too.
Right. You almost have to fight back at all times. You can't let the league dominate or own anything because you don't want to come off as weak, as strange as that sounds. Someone texting with a great point. The Houston Astros love the Browns right now.
Because it takes the attention off of them?
No one cares about that Astros story anymore. It's true.
About,
I mean,
about the Spygate?
About the Spygate and all that. Like, so, that doesn't mean that's over, but in terms of, like, the general public.
So I've got a question to ask you about that. There's no written rule of in baseball of stealing signs, is there?
Stealing signs, no. In terms of, you know, someone being on second base, someone
like,
in the dugout, using electronic sign stealing, I don't believe that is legal.
But there's nothing in the rules that says that it's illegal. So would you not maybe credit a team for, like, thinking outside the box? And I know they say if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But, like, I would like to see creative ways in the MLB where guys are trying to take advantage of cheating a little bit, getting an edge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're a guy on second base and you're playing an important game and you want to help your batter out, and you're before he goes up, you're giving him signals and stuff, wouldn't that be okay? I mean, it's not in the rules that you can't do it.
Oh, I think that happens all the time.
All the time.
Like, you know, the opposition is
trying to
figure you out. Right. And you have the right to do that to the opposition as well. Using technology, that is not legal. It is not kosher. It is not allowed.
You're right about that.
You know, personally, I think that's where we're going. Like, how are you going to keep technology out of sports?
Technology's
it's infiltrated
wave,
everything.
Man.
Exactly. Like, there are already iPads on the benches, in the dugouts. You can go into the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And what's stopping you from looking at an iPad, from, you know, tracking whatever cameras are finding in terms of the clubhouse? No one's policing it in there. And I'm not sure how you can police it. Personally, I would let it all go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think it's a rule that they choose to adhere to and choose to police that they don't really have to. Where if teams are going to be that creative, if they're going to use technology and everyone has the right to do it,
like
go for it.
Yeah, stealing signs is not in the rules that you can't do it.
Change up your signs.
Yeah,
Ryan Dempster on earlier in the week, and he said, you know, it's very simple. Come up with a plan before you even get out on the mound.
Yeah.
So don't even give me signs. I'm just telling you where I'm going
exactly.
And what we're going
to
do.
To me, that's strategy.
Right.
Like, that's a team strategizing a certain way to win. Even if it is cheating a little bit. I mean, you're trying to get an edge over your opponent. So why wouldn't you take advantage of it if you're allowed to do it and it's not against the rules?
Well, in this case, again, they're not allowed to have a camera set up in center field and then have it electronically.
And have one of your bullpen guys bang the drums or something in the outfield to give you a
They're going to get hammered for this. I don't think they should. Any talk of them rescinding the 17 World Series is ludicrous.
Yes.
And I cannot picture a scenario where that's going to happen. And what, are you going to give it to the Dodgers?
Here's the loser prize.
Imagine you had a parade in 2020 for a World Series you won in 2017.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think they're going to hammer them here. But I think this is another situation where you're setting yourself up for controversy where you don't need it. It's like testing for marijuana in 2019.
Yeah.
Why do leagues do it?
Well,
no one cares what these guys are doing in their personal lives. All you're going to do is create chaos by saying, we caught you doing this, and now we're going public with it.
And
if you don't search for it, no one's going to care about it.
Absolutely. And it's the whole steroid thing, too, where they're trying to catch guys that were busted doing it like 20 years ago. Like, who cares? Who cares what a guy did 20 years ago when steroid testing wasn't around?
Well, that never gets brought up. That the use of steroids, it was not technically illegal. They didn't test for anything.
And I don't care what a guy did 20 years ago or 30 years ago when really they weren't breaking the rules.
Right.
I only care what guys are doing now. If it's against the rules and you do it, well, then, yeah, you know what? It is an issue. It's just the same thing. I don't know, man. Like, I get that. You know, the Astros have faced a lot of criticism over the last couple of years because of certain decisions they've made baseball-wise, and now this all coming out, sign-stealing. Yeah, you could relate it to the Patriots, but even the Patriots, like, that's them trying to get an edge over you. They just got caught doing it.
Well, and you'd be naive not to believe that there are other teams
that are doing it,
if not all teams, trying to, in some form or fashion, circumventing the rules.
Yeah.
Like, every team is doing it in some way.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, man.
Well, and the fact that it's Houston makes it that much more explosive because they won in 17. Yeah. They were back in a World Series this year. They've been consistently the best team in baseball for 3 years. If this was, if this was Baltimore, it would still be an interesting story, but no one would care that much. What are you going to do? Take away the 45 wins they had 2 years ago?
The thing that makes it legitimate or gives it makes you have a conversation about it is the stats numbers of Houston at home compared to on the road.
The splits are pretty...
It's pretty significant.
Yeah, I would say it's glaring.
You know?
Yeah. But, in the baseball world, you know what they say about small sample size.
Yeah.
They say you can't use that, man. It could be totally random.
Absolutely.
That's going to be Houston's defense.
I mean, that's what they call home field advantage or home court advantage or whatever it is, right? You're supposed to be better at home.
Well, and to your point, everyone hates Houston.
True.
Because of what just happened in the World Series with that SI piece, the Brandon Taubman, their assistant GM, and the Roberto Osuna trade. They're so easy to hate.
Yeah.
And now you add this to it, and it's probably only going to unravel that much more. But anyway,
but you're right. It's this Miles Garrett thing, like that listener just texted in, takes the attention
completely.
Off.
Doesn't mean like baseball's not going to continue to investigate. They will. But in terms of talk shows and columns and all that, that's the world we live in now. You got to get through about 48 hours, and then something else will happen.
Yeah, the one thing that bothers me about the Garrett thing, going back to it, is. You see some of these fines that get handed out for the NFL players when they get disciplined? Like, we're talking about 40, 50 grand these guys are getting fined. Do these guys not, like, look at each other in the locker room and say, man, like, I don't know about you, but I like making my paycheck.
But you know what it's like in the heat of the moment. I mean, there's no way Miles Garrett was thinking, just prior to that snap, I'm going to go ahead and lose $1.1 million here. And get suspended and try to kill a guy with a helmet.
But you would think it would temper you from knowing when to cross the line a little bit.
I think for most players, that likely is the case. I think the majority of players, they're like, I know the line. Some of them are just loose cannons.
Yeah.
And Miles Garrett is clearly one of those
Fontes
guys.
Perfect.
Perfect is a
the
perfect
guy's
example.
Lost, like, how much money?
He may never play again in the league.
I know.
Like, he's just banned because he keeps taking guys' heads off.
He's playing for free.
At some point, you'd think he'd snap out of it. Yeah. Antonio Brown wasn't on the field.
Idiot.
But you'd think someone would be like, hey, maybe just, tone it down a little bit because $30 million is at stake.
Did you see Antonio Brown's tweet regarding this whole situation?
No, I didn't.
So he posted a picture of him. You remember when he was doing the kick return and he drop kicked the Cleveland kicker?
Yeah.
This is for you, Mason, is what he said, posting that picture.
Is that his
boy?
You
have that picture? I send it to you.
All right, we'll see if we can get it up. Mail It In Friday brought to you by sportsmarketplace.ca, the place to buy and sell all things sports. It's where sports fans go to put their stuff on waivers. Carlo Colaiacovo from First Up is in here. Leafs with a double shot this weekend, including the Bruins at home tonight, at Pittsburgh tomorrow. We'll tee up what is going to be a big weekend, and we've got another big injury. We'll tell you about that next. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on Colorado December 4th, every day this week. We have been providing you with the clues to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player, and today is the final clue and then your chance to call. Here is the final clue. This player was waived by the Maple Leafs on Monday. Are you kidding me?
Oh, good clue.
We on Overdrive sincerely wish him the best with the Marlies this season. The phone lines are open. 416-870-1050.
How hard did you have to try for that one?
Nah, listen, by this time of the week, everyone knows who it is. So I figure I can kind of mail it in with the
clue. Was one of your clues that he's a southpaw, maybe?
Actually, they were pretty difficult earlier in the week, but by making it that easy, what's the point of us doing it Monday through Thursday? Like, we might as well just say...
You might as well listen today.
Yeah, hey, Michael Hutchinson is a player, so call in at 416-870-1050, and if you can pronounce his name, you win tickets.
Oh, man.
Anyway, good luck to everybody, and we've got another spring break giveaway we're going to do at some point
this
hour. We're going to announce our first Instagram handle, and then you'll have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in and claim your prize. That prize is a thing of beauty.
Spring break in Florida?
Yeah, man. That's going to be outstanding.
Sign me up. Can we go?
Yeah, I wish
we
could.
Let's do live remotes from there,
You're preaching to the choir. We should get both shows down
100%.
There. I don't know if Landsberg would go, though. Would Landsberg go? Like, would Michael actually
go
to Florida?
Probably not.
I feel like he'd be like, I'm not into it.
Yeah. But he's got a place in Florida, so I don't know. He might.
Oh, there you go. Well, he's your guy. You got to talk to him on the
listen,
morning.
If we get the green light to go with this thing, I'll convince him to come.
Okay. Well, yeah, there you go.
Maybe
what we should do is we should curl,
yes.
And only the winning team gets to go.
So did you see how much traction that has gained today? So we had our Friday draft on First Up this morning, and we had to draft our curling team from TSN personalities. And so I drafted Darren Dreger on my team in the fourth round, and he's like livid about it. He's like, I can't believe I wasn't a first round pick.
How are we supposed to know that he used to curl?
I guess the thing is that if you're from Saskatchewan, you should know that you do some sort of curling. And he posted an epic picture of him back in the day on a curling team.
A curling team.
Yeah.
That must have been bar play special.
Well, he is going to be joining us at 6:25.
Yeah,
today, we'll ask him for sure.
We'll ask him how the ladies of the Green Province felt about the curling team. Yeah, no, we got to make that happen. I mean, it was such a throwaway conversation. O brought it up. I have no idea why. And we just started talking about curling.
Have you ever any idea why some of the stuff he brings up?
No, I have no clue. And... like, I never know what he's going to say. Same thing with Noodles. I think that was the same day Noodles started talking about getting his tires changed, and then he didn't tip the guy, and the guy wanted
the
tip.
That's right.
That was all within the same 15 minutes of nonsense. 15 minutes of nothing.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so we'll get back into that a little bit later this afternoon.
Sure.
But the Leafs are in action tonight against Boston at home, and tomorrow night at Pittsburgh, and Alex Kerfoot is now out indefinitely. The description of the surgery that he had is very difficult to really get a read on what happened.
Yeah.
So he got injured in the L.A. game. I assume it was the Jeff Carter
100%
hit.
It was a Jeff Carter
hit. Like, Carter just laid him out.
Yeah. I mean, when you first see the impact on that hit, you're surprised that he's not concussed. And now you're hearing the extent of the injury a couple days later. Actually, it was a week later.
Yeah, more than a week. Credit to him for playing through the pain. And he had dental surgery today. Again, I don't know if it's a broken jaw, if it's broken teeth, what it is.
Yeah.
It's a very vague description. And he's just out indefinitely. So he could be back in a week. He could be back in a month, maybe 2 or 3 months. I have no idea.
There's no timeline right now. They just say out indefinitely.
Right. So that's obviously another hit.
It's a blow, man.
It's a blow. I mean, that's an everyday top nine guy. It's him and Marner are now out of the lineup indefinitely.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with another issue.
Think about who's been the most consistent line for this team all year.
Probably him and Mikheyev together. Yeah. Whoever has been on that line with them
Absolutely.
Has been their most consistent line.
And I'm a big fan of Kerfoot's game. I love the energy that he brings. I think he's a tremendous skater. He plays with a lot of speed, plays with some tenacity. And now you're going to have Jason Spezza come in and fill in that role. And
Spezza keeps getting opportunities. Yeah. Like, he's just kind of hanging around. You know, Babcock doesn't want to play him, but now here's another opportunity. And this is why you bring in a guy like that. Yeah. Even if you're not going to play him every night, at some point you're going to run into center ice depth. And Gauthier's been fine. Nagot's been fine. But his ceiling is the fourth line. Like, you can never play him above the fourth line.
But he's playing the wing on the fourth line at times, too.
He and Shore are kind Switch of moving back and forth. Like, honestly, if Gauthier was sent to the minors, he'd be on the fourth line. If you sent him to the East Coast, he'd be on the fourth line in the coast. Like,
he's got that mastered.
That is his thing.
Yeah.
That is what he's going to do. He's going to take big draws. He's going to play about 7 minutes and get off the ice.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
He's doing it fine.
And if he can be effective doing it, he can, like you said, make a name for himself of being that guy.
Honestly, when we went into the summer, I didn't think he was going to be a part of the program anymore. I figured.
I don't think anybody did.
When they, signed Spezza, I thought Spezza was going to be the fourth line center. I still think Dubas had that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And Babcock said, that's not what I have in mind.
And credit to Gauthier. I thought he had a really good camp. And
he did.
Here's a guy that, like you said, you know, everybody just had him outside, penciled in outside the lab, probably with the Marlies.
Right.
And he came in and fought for his position.
And he's played, and he's played fine. Like, I have
nothing wrong with
what Gauthier
has brought. I wish his size would be a little bit more physical.
Yeah.
Be a little bit more engaged, but...
That ship has sailed. I don't think that's him. It's not in his DNA.
Yeah.
He's not going to snap out of it and be mean starting tonight.
No.
But you're right. That would push him over the edge into a true commodity.
You think the name, like, just like, think about the name he could make for himself in this city if he was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are crying for that type of player on this
roster.
You're
so right about that. This is a talent. They love the grit grinder. Fourth line, ninth in the batting order guy who can't even hit the Mendoza line, but he slides into first base, so we love him. Like, that is exactly what the city wants. And if the GOAT got into, like, two fights over a 3 or 4 game span and a couple of big hits, people would be loving what he brought.
He'd make a name for himself in this city.
And you'd pay even more attention to the other details that he brings.
Absolutely.
You know, winning draws, using his body defensively. You know, stopping cycles, starting cycles, whatever it might be.
It's like Mike Babcock's criticism of Tyson Berry, where he says, you know, Tyson's come over from Colorado. He's got to get used to playing the way we play, and he's not playing in the same situations as he was in Colorado, and he has to reinvent himself. I don't know how you tell a 60-point defenseman who's been in the league for 7 years to reinvent himself, but maybe Freddie should take that advice and reinvent himself into a player that people want to see him be.
Right. Oh, he's got a real chance at extending his career.
Absolutely.
With the mean streak.
Absolutely.
Because you're still allowed to be mean in the NHL. But you look at what is ahead of them this weekend, and it puts it into perspective, the first 20 games. You know, we've been talking about it on our show. You guys on First Stop have talked about it. Leafs lunch. We're at, you know, a big mark in the city, in the season. It's the quarter mark of the season. They're through 20 games. And when you consider what is at stake this weekend, can the backup get their first win of the year? We're still asking that question.
Yeah.
Can they win on the second night of a back-to-back for the first time? We're still asking that question. Can they beat a good team in regulation? We're still asking that question. They have not done any of the three.
You're absolutely
right. Like, think about that. We're 20 games into the season. We're wondering if they can win a game in regulation against a team that's good. It's unbelievable.
You're absolutely right, man.
And quite frankly, until they show it at this point, I don't have that much faith. Like, they're going through injury problems here with Marner out and Kerfoot out. Boston's dealing with the same thing.
They have Torrey Krug out right now.
Krug is out. Half the right side is out.
Mm-hmm.
I have more faith that they're going to fight through that than the Maple Leafs, because Boston has proven they can do that in the past, and the Leafs have not been subjected to this necessarily. So until they can prove it, the jury's going to be out.
And I love what you said yesterday when describing this team about the 20-game point. They're a mediocre team. And until they prove us differently or otherwise, that's who they are right now. And there's no better point in the season to change the narrative about them. They had a day off yesterday where they had team meetings. And I would hope that team meetings internally was a lot more negative than Kyle Dubas was in his press conference, where you understand the message from a GM. He's trying to calm everything down around the team, trying to give it a little bit more of a positive approach. But there's no better time to receive that message, whether it was, hey, we're not meeting expectations, our power play is abysmal, our penalty kill is abysmal, we are not playing the way we're supposed to be, our defensive zone coverage is abysmal. If that message is gained and it starts taking place tonight, no better game for that to happen against your rival,
well, that's
Boston
true.
Bruins?
Yeah, there's some symbolism in the game tonight.
Absolutely.
I'd argue this is exactly who you want to meet.
Come out and play pissed off.
Yeah, this is exactly who you want. It's very similar to the way I felt when they were playing them in the first round a year ago.
Yeah.
I think you almost have to, you have to scale that mountain. Like, Washington had to beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They had to. And they
and
did.
They did.
And they won the Stanley Cup.
The Stanley Cup.
And winning a game on November 15th obviously is not going to matter come April 15th. But of all the teams in the league that you could face, when you're really looking yourself in the mirror and trying to figure out who you are,
they're looking for an identity.
This is the team. Because Boston's got the identity. Yeah. We know exactly what they are. They're resilient. They're tough. They're disciplined. Yeah, they're top heavy, but the top players bring it every single night.
They're leading the way.
They are leading the way. Like tonight, that Bergeron line, you know they're coming to play. Yeah. You know it.
And they're licking their chops. Oh, yeah, we're playing the Maple Leafs.
Well, on the flip side, Boston's looking at this saying, perfect time for us to play you.
Yeah.
Because we have owned you in the past. We know your market is going up in flames based on the way you're playing. And we have a chance to walk out of your building with 2 points. And then you've got to go answer for it.
I'm surprised we haven't seen a troll job tweet from Marchand or any of those, Pasternak, any of those guys.
You know they're paying attention.
Yeah.
You know they're paying attention to what's going on up here. But now, again, they're dealing with their own issues. They've lost 4 in a row, and they got injury problems in Boston. But I think they're a pretty confident group nonetheless.
And they should be. Like, they're in first place. Like, they've lost 4 games in a row, but they're still in first place. And again, you talk about the perfect remedy for them tonight. What about the perfect remedy for them to get to change the narrative about a back-to-back, a backup goalie in Pittsburgh tomorrow? There's no excuses tomorrow.
No, Crosby's not playing.
Pittsburgh's on a back-to-back. They're missing Chris Letang. Like, there's no excuses tomorrow. That's the perfect opportunity for the Maple Leafs to go in and finally change the narrative.
They can finally beat one of these teams in regulation. Kaskasuo plays well, and they win tomorrow night. Monday, you know
you
how
think,
the city is.
You think
is,
about
man?
What that does for the momentum of this team.
Absolutely,
forward.
Everyone feels a little bit different. Yeah. You know that it's a fickle game. It's a fickle market. That's how quickly it can change.
All this conversation you've had the last 2 days,
gone. You can just say, you know what, we got our swag back. We had our team meeting. It worked out. You know, even if it isn't pretty, if you get 4 points, people are going to be okay with that. Ray Ferraro from the rink down at Scotiabank ahead of the game tonight. Again, you can watch it on TSN 4. Hear it right here on TSN 1050. All the Hall of Famers will be in attendance tonight, so we're looking forward to that. Michael Lombardi, our NFL insider, later in the afternoon. The Raptors in Dallas tomorrow night. We'll tee that up. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Ray Ferraro will join us in about 15 minutes from Scotiabank ahead of the Leaf-Bruin game tonight. You can watch it on TSN 4. Hear it right here on TSN Radio. And they'll be focused on that game clearly, but I got to believe at some point during the broadcast tonight, McDavid and Draisaitl are coming up. And, man, we were too young to truly appreciate, like, Gretzky and Curry. And I know Bob was talking about that, McKenzie on the lunch today, saying for him it kind of sparks some nostalgia and you can feel it. Totally different eras. But the potential that these two players have in terms of, like, the all-time list for duos.
Yeah.
Man, if they can play like this for another 10 years together, because incredible. They're both in their early 20s. It's not like one's 31 and the other one's 21 and they're just connecting here. And you know in 2 or 3 years, it's got to splinter off. And I know long-term, they want these two to not play on the same team together or same line together. But, man, I hope that doesn't change.
What these guys are doing is absolutely incredible. Nobody gave Edmonton a chance this year. Zero. Dave Tippett comes in. He establishes a different culture. Ken Holland comes in. He creates a patient approach. But nothing has stopped McDavid and Dreisaitl. Like, these guys are putting up insane numbers. 21 games played, 41 points for Dreisaitl and 37 for McDavid. I heard you guys, your Jerry's percentage was 230 points.
I know, that's way off. Like, that's Samsonite.
They're going to blow that out of the water at this pace.
There's got to be a correction. The problem is last night was against Colorado. That wasn't against Detroit. That's Colorado. Yes, the Avalanche are dealing with some injuries right now, but they are a legit playoff team. And I think if McDavid kept pushing in the third, he could have easily tapped in a couple more
and
points.
And you guys, I've heard you guys talk about the whole break into the 10-point game.
I don't see that happening. Like, oh, threw that out. The Sittler 10-point game. That is hard to believe.
I don't see that happening, but I tell you right now, I would not be surprised if one of these two do it. Well, every time I see an Edmonton goal, it's with McDavid, with Dreisaitl involved.
I think what is more likely to happen is like a combined number. Can they combine for 15 points in a game? Yeah. I think that's the question.
Well,
last night they combined for 11.
11 last night.
With like 22 minutes to go in the game.
Unbelievable.
I think if they stay together and they play on the same line for the next 10 years, you're putting them up there potentially as like the greatest duo of all time based on, you know, relative terms and based on, you know, different eras. We'll get into that more with Ray in the next hour. Tee up the Leaf game. Look ahead to the rest of the NFL weekend as well. Carlo Colaiacovo in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.